Ask the Podcast Coach for March 16th, 2024.
Let's get ready to podcast.
There it is. It's that music. That means it's Saturday morning. It's time for Ask the Podcast Coach, where you get your podcast questions answered live. I'm Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting.com, and joining me right over there is guest number one. There you go. Gotta love him.
Well, I'm secret. I was on assignment. I'm secret.
Yes, he's back from, I forget what, was it assassination this time? Because Jim's a spy. He does all that spy stuff when he has to leave. But glad to have you back. Jim Cullison from TheAverageGuy.tv. Jim, how's it going, buddy?
Greetings, Dave. Happy Saturday morning to you. Always good to be back. Big thanks to Matthew, who filled in my seat last week and did a bang-up job. I didn't get a chance to listen to it, but I'm sure it was awesome. Matthew, thanks for filling in for me while I was out.
Yeah, Matthew's a great guy. Check him out, podcastingtech.com. And, you know, before we jump into, because we have a follow-up, we're going to talk about Dan here in a second, but before we get to Dan's follow-up, we need to get you some coffee, my friend. And that is, all right, and we're ready. That coffee pour, of course, is brought to you by Mark over at podcastbranding.co. If you need a piece of artwork, if you need a website, if you need a PDF, if you want to look good, and I'm going to try to, oh, it worked, there we go. If you need something to look good, look, it's super simple. podcastbranding.co. He is going to sit down with you one-on-one. He's done hundreds, literally hundreds of logos, artworks, and things like that for podcasters. He makes everything look beauteous or beautiful or anything else that begins with beaut. He's an amazing guy, and you're just not going to get that kind of service from somebody on Fiverr. A little later, we're going to see, he gave me two options for the new Your Podcast website show, so we'll be voting on that here in a second, and he's just an amazing guy. The thing I love about it is not only is he an award-winning graphic artist, he is a podcaster. So that whole where you have to explain to your editor that it's kind of like a podcast, but it's not. Yeah, check him out, podcastbranding.co.
And of course, big thanks to my good friend Dan Lefebvre over there. Based on a true story, based on a true story, podcast.com. My family just went out and saw Dune, and that's definitely not based on a true story. So if you've, but he's got some movies that are. If you head out there right now, Schindler's List, Valkyrie, and Rome. Oh, Valkyrie's that's a great movie. Not very accurate, but it's a great movie. So you can check it out today. Based on a true story, podcast.com. Be a good week to check out a new podcast from Dan. Dan, thanks for your sponsorship.
And I was mentioning we have a follow-up from Dan, and we'd ask, what happens if you mark your podcast as explicit, but it's one of those, I'm selling my podcast to Apple kind of things, right? It's a premium subscription. And so Dan had asked that, and I'm like, I don't know. And so he went out and asked Apple, he said, you can mark your subscriber audio as explicit while the free episodes remain clean. However, the podcast itself will be marked as explicit on the storefront. Each episode will then show an E for explicit or will be clean. For example, oh, he gave me a link that I can't show you. But anyway, so yeah, like everything else, if you mark anything explicit, even one episode, your show is going to be marked as explicit. So that's the way that whole thing works. So if anybody is listening to this later, what I'm doing is I have my artwork. I we're talking about Mark earlier and the fact that he's given me two ideas to pick from for your podcast artwork. So on the left, we have, you know, your podcast website, again, giant letters there with Dave Jackson is fine. But because, again, Mark's a podcaster, what he did was he took what was a microphone, took out the microphone, so you still have the mic stand, and instead of a microphone, you have a mouse with a little scrolly wheel thingamabob. So you're like, okay. And then on the right, you have that one's kind of a little yellow, but the primary color there is red that pops out. And then on the right, you have a yellow background with kind of almost Jim's color, that kind of light greenish thing going on.
Teal.
Yeah. And it's got, of course, the microphone because it's a podcast about a podcasting. So you're allowed to have microphones in your image. And then he's got a phone, he's got a tablet, he's got a couple widescreens there. And what I am looking for as I'm sitting here talking is I have a form that I want people to vote on. So we will. Do you have a?
You can vote in chat too.
You can vote in chat
live. You want?
Well, what I was trying to is have it all in one spot.
Yeah, yeah. We'll do both. We'll
get some feedback
live, but also fill out the form. Can I weigh in on this?
Oh, you can weigh in. Yeah.
While you're getting the form all set up, I really like option two. I just don't like the colors. I'd almost like the colors of option one. I like the red for you. Orange is, or that yellow, that mustard. It's more of a mustard color, isn't it? Doing it for me. But I know the red and green don't go together. So there's some things to do. I'm not as into the color as I'd like to be. But I like with Dave Jackson, it's very visible that on option one with Dave Jackson kind of disappears a little bit.
Yeah.
And I like the different, I kind of like the different looks there. So, and I love the lowercase p on podcast. So yeah, option two with some color changes would work for me.
See, I love the mouse thing. I thought that was cool. That was the first thing that got my eye. And the minute I saw the color scheme on the right one, I just was like, different colors, like something, you know, maybe tied into the blue. I don't know why.
I do like the mouse look. I mean, that's very creative.
Well, it reminded me of the podcast Rodeo Show where he had a blue Yeti with a noose around it. It was like, all right, you know, kind of gets that. So
it's good. That is good. But, yeah. I just like the blocking of, I like the blocking of two. It blocks really, really well. And I think there's also some things t-shirt wise, not saying you're going to do this, but mug wise, t-shirt wise, getting different graphics out of two, I think. Now Mark can do anything,
right?
So I'm not doubting his skill on this, but I'm just kind of thinking through. I think option two gives you better graphics that are alternate to the album art for other things like merch.
Yeah. Dan says, put them next to our other logos, like the School of Podcasting. See how they go together. See if they play nice together. Yeah. Hey kids, we're going to have a play date. I want you to hang out with these other logos and see if you do that.
No, we have 12 podcasts at Gallup and I have 12, and then they're not drastically different. They're at least color coordinated, but every new person who creates a podcast, I say, hey, I'd like to stay on brand. And they're like, oh, I need my own thing. And I'm like, no, you really don't. You need to stay on brand is what you need to do. But we always do this negotiation between the new host and in our brand, you know, kind of our brand colors. So I like that idea, Dave, of, hey, or I know Mark's listening. So, you know, hey, how does this stack up to the other ones? Is there a school? Do you have a School of Podcasting brand that all the other shows? Because I think that's your flagship, right? School of Podcasting is the flagship. And then underneath that, Ask the Podcast Coach, Rodeo Show, Building a Better Dave, all those things. Do you have, and you don't have to answer this question, but do you have a brand philosophy for all of those so that they look good with each other? Now, that being said, maybe you don't want them all to blend together. Maybe you want you want them like Podcast Rodeo Show. While it's about podcasting, it's a different kind of show. Maybe you want that artwork to reflect that the show is a little bit different than the other ones. It doesn't kind of fit in. You could easily have School of Podcasting and Ask the Podcast Coach be branded similar because they're similar kinds of shows and we share content across that. So here's the good news. You can do whatever you want.
That's true. Yeah. Chris voted yesterday. He says, but I agree with Jim, maybe more bold colors, red or yellow, etc. The mouse one looks a little outdated. Yeah, I could see it. It's funny. My first impression when I looked at that, I was 100% mouse. I was like, I love the mouse. Yeah. It's cool. It's different. It's not, you know.
Well, it's a lot like your other logos, though. I mean, so Ask the Podcast Coach, if you look up in the corner there, the words bend. So you're on this one, those words bend. And I'm trying to think of what your School Podcasting logo looks like. Does it have, is this it up here?
That's it right there. Yes, in the upper right-hand corner.
So it's bendy. It's on my side.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it looks like. Hey, Jim, open your eyes. So it's bendy. So that other logo fits that word bendy. That's the technical term. I'm sure Mark would agree with me. It's called word bendy.
Yeah. Speaking of Mark, he says, I tried a version with fewer screens. but it didn't look as good. I showed it to my design group and they agreed. So yeah, I don't know. I'll have to, I like them both as always. That's really the problem. When you get Mark, you're like, can I keep them both? Like it's, you know, they're always good. So that's where we're at this point. I've actually, speaking of trying to stand out a little bit. So getting music for your show can be one of, I've known people that straight up had a great idea. They were super passionate about their show. They had their artwork, they're ready to go, and literally could not find music for the intro, to which I always want to remind people, you don't need music if you really, you know, don't let that stop your show. And so what I did was I'm out and I was using TuneReel, which I love that place because A, their music sounds good. And even though they hit you over the head when you go there for like sign up for our membership site, they have a whole thing. But if you click on a track, you can see where you can actually get a track for $5. And I was like, and it doesn't sound like it was made on a Casio, you know, kind of thing. And so I was doing the typical Dave thing, kind of rock, funk kind of thing that I use on most of my shows. And then I stumbled across somebody playing just piano. And it was Boogie Woogie. And I was like, oh, that was cool. And then it's some guy named Red Octopus. Don't know what that is, but that's his screen name. And he had all these jazzy piano, jazz kind of stuff. And it was just a whole different vibe. And for some reason, because I love the blues, the jazz / boogie woogie piano, I like boogie woogie because it was fast. And I was like, this would be a great opening thing. And then if I have multiple topics, it could kind of use this jazz transition stuff. And I was like, this doesn't sound like a Dave Jackson show. And there was a voice in my head that said, yes, you should do something different this time. And I was like, all right, we're going jazz piano. So that's where we're going. Oh, Chris Nessie, look at him showing up late, wanting to see. Let me see if I still have that open. He's like, well, I want to see the artwork because the chat room is still going on about our artwork thing here.
Can you go back on YouTube and can you just scroll back on YouTube and on a live? I can't remember.
There we go. There it is. There we go. So we were saying, well, let me get the survey. I'll throw another survey in here as well. So this first one I'm going to put out is for content. Now, here's a fun thing that I did. I did what, you know, I'm following my own advice. So I was like, all right, Dave, come up with 10 topics for your brand new podcast. Because if you can't come up with 10 topics, you're going to run out of topics. And so I came up with about, I would say 15, maybe on my own. And I was like, all right, a lot of it around kind of SEO kind of stuff. And I was like, okay, that's good. Then I went in and I said, hey, you know, Mr. AI, ChatGPT in this case. And I said, here are some topics I'm going to talk about for this new show. Here's my target audience. Come up with 15 more topics for this show. And in true fashion, 60% of them were crap or just reworded things that I'd already said. But it gave me a few that I was like, huh. So again, I'm not anti-AI, but it's for me, I love to use it as a brainstorming tool. And so that the last link I just put in is if you want to vote. The first link was, what do you want to hear on this podcast? And the second link right after Jim, where it says good work, that's the one if you want to vote on number one or number two. And if you're listening to this later, I'll put the artwork in the show notes, that whole nine yards. So, all right. Well, thank you, chat room, for all the feedback. That's how it works. I also, if you go to yourpodcastwebsite.com, you can go over and sign up for the newsletter. So I had the newsletter people. I got like, I think 25 people now on the newsletter list. So not a huge number, but that's all right. I don't really want to, I guess I do want a giant list, but I just wanted feedback from anybody. So,
you just threw that up there. Mark says, thanks guys. Love hearing everyone's thoughts. Artwork is subjective and everyone has a unique opinion. Listen, you don't survive in the art world if you're not able to take that kind of criticism. Mark, thanks for being a good sport and letting us talk about that openly with a group of people. Yeah. That's not easy. Some people would be very, very defensive. Mark, of course, is a pro. And so he would, you know, he's like, oh, okay, yeah, we can some things to consider. And he does have, listen, I've talked to Mark. He's got some opinions. He's got some things like, no, you shouldn't do that type things as well, right? Where you're like, hey, could you? And then Mark would be like, not sure that's the greatest idea, but you don't survive in that industry without having some thick skin. So Mark, thanks for letting us do that. That's a fun exercise. I kind of like doing that. Of course, it's not my work, so it's easy.
It's right. I don't care which one it was. It's not mine. Yeah. Here's a thought. What about like a blue background with white letters? Would that? I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. Mark will have some great ideas. Yeah. He'll throw a bunch at me.
Yeah.
He can replace those and throw them out to you and have a conversation with it. You know, if you want to go, you know, if you want it to match you, I think your school podcasting logo used to be more like Ask the Podcast Coach color wise. Didn't it used to be kind of red, white and blue or?
No, it was blue with a really old microphone that looked horrible. And then just School of Podcasting with like this little graduation cap over the T that I paid somebody, you know, probably on Fiverr back in 2006 or whatever to do. And it was fine, but it looked awful on t-shirts.
Yeah.
It was not a great logo. Yeah. And I went to Mark and it was kind of awkward. I had a listener say, I'd love to do a new logo for you. And I'm like, oh, that'd be awesome. And then he just couldn't. Because I said, I want it to look kind of like a school shield or a crest, I believe is the appropriate word.
Yeah.
It just wasn't. And I threw that idea at Mark and he came back and I was like, that's it. That's exactly what I'm looking for. And so that's why he's been doing my artwork ever since.
Coat of arms, I think.
Yes.
We'd also say. Yeah.
And he's got the whole, that kind of, what do you call it? Tilty?
Curly? No.
Yeah.
Squishy? No.
That's a very, like, if you look at college names when it's like, you know, University of Dave or whatever, you know, that's they often
curvy letters.
Curvy letters.
Curvy
there we go.
Letters.
Yeah. Curvy. and speaking of AI, Christopher Nessie says, here's a tip for you. I employ a new directive in my AI prompts, no yapping. I think that's the phrase of the day. It cuts down on lengthy responses.
You can say keep it short.
Yeah,
that also will work. You can also get like if you get a you know you get a whole paragraph back or whatever, it's too much. Say you get too much back, you can say do that again shorter, and it'll consolidate it down. Listen, AI is a pretty good summary tool. That's one of the things it does really 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 well. We did an event, we did a podcasting event, webcasting, whatever education event at Gallup a couple weeks ago. I 6 episodes throughout the week. One in the morning, one in the evening, trying to get a global audience. We took a survey. Of course we did, right? We're a survey research company. So I took a survey at the end, got 4 different areas where they could say, what did you like the best? What was the most meaningful? You know, what wasn't helpful? Those kinds of things. And I got 1,180 responses back from that.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So I pinged my AI guy. I was like, hey, is there an easy way to get this? To take this section and with our token limit, I could only get about 120 responses at a time. So I'd sent him a note and said, isn't there any way we can do this a little differently? I haven't heard back from them. This was just at the end of the day. But those kinds of things, he took 120 of the responses and said, you know, sort these for me by top response and return it. And it did a really nice job of summarizing of those 120 verbatims. It did a nice job of summarizing them and ranking them for me. And then we did a little spot check and went through and said, okay, is that kind of the spirit of it? And it was. It did a really, really nice job. I don't want to do that 40 times, you know, 10 times for 120 and then 4 times for each question. I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So I want to figure out I want to be able to feed more into the system. And there's ways to do that.
Well, Chris Nessie did something that was really cool. And Chris, let me know if I'm getting this wrong, but I think he somehow put... Can you put tables into AI? I'm assuming you can. But I think he said, here are my episodes and here's how many downloads each episode got. And then basically said, based on this, and this is the part I don't remember. It was like, give me more episode. Like this is what I'm doing. Give me things that I haven't covered or something like that. But he basically fed ChatGPT his previous episode titles and said, what else should I talk about? Something like that. I'm sure Chris will fill me in here. But Mark says, and this is what I love about Mark. He says, in regards to the artwork, we'll keep at it until we get it right. My policy is to make the client happy. I'm not the one that has to live with the artwork once it's done. And I'm sure he's had people where he's like, you sure you want to go with the, you know, the giant whatever? Okay. Yeah, that's got to be fun. So
bendy. Bendy was the right, not that, curvy.
Bendy. Yeah.
So we're between bendy and curvy. I'm sure one of those is the right technical term for that.
Yeah.
Mark's going to let me know. The correct term is arch.
Arch. Okay. There we go.
Well, see, I don't know. It's a good thing we have Mark.
Well, you mentioned something about Mark having, you know, he's a pro. So it's got to be weird to go, here's something I spent hours thinking about. What do you think? And having people go, puh, right? That's got to take a while. But I wanted to bring up something. If you're going to do a, wait a minute, I have to hit my fun little button. Yeah, ta-da, here we go. And okay, something's supposed to come up on the screen. It worked this morning. I there it is. That, look, there it is, where it's a new, because what's going on behind the scene, although it's not supposed to stay on the screen for 15 seconds, it's supposed to pop up and then go away, which it's not. I don't know why this works when we're not live. Like I did that this morning, and it literally comes up and it's like, and what it does behind the scenes, it's adding a marker. But anyway, if you're doing a political show, now I don't want to talk about politics, but I am going to talk about a political show, but somebody does a show and there's nothing right if you're super left and there's nothing wrong if you're super right. You be you by all, you know. But in this case, this guy's super duper right. And he went to advertise on Overcast. And per the like public guidelines of these are the kind of ads we will accept, it was pretty obvious that this show did not fit. And he got very, very upset. And he said, hey, you shouldn't point people towards Marco, you know, on Overcast. I'm like, well, number one, Overcast was my favorite app for years and still would be if the guy did the whole value for value thing. But you need to not point anyone at this guy. And I go, well, what I always do, I said, I always try to stay objective. I said, I will say in the future, hey, here's a place where you can advertise your podcast. Just know, here are the guidelines. And if your show is, you know, either far left or far right, you may not be able, they may reject your ad. And to jump to the end of the story, he canceled his school of podcasting membership. He got upset. And
that's his choice.
But
that's his choice.
Exactly.
Right? That's what he should have done if he didn't agree with you.
Right. So that's my point, though, is if you're doing a political show, 50% of your audience is going to hate you. And a big chunk of the audience that hates you is going to really listen to every week to make sure that they still hate you. Like, I'm going to listen to see if this guy's still an idiot, you know, so they
There's
can then.
Some of that going on.
Yeah. So I just, if you're doing a political show, Jen Briney, I love her to death, does Congressional Dish. And she's been brought to tears by some of the comments because people just, you know, because she's kind of doing that from a journalistic standpoint. And so I'm just saying, be careful if you're doing a political show because that's a rough gig.
I don't think it requires it to be political. I mean, we fought Microsoft and Apple wars for years, you know, in the tech space. And when I managed IT resources, it was Java versus .NET. And you would think if you don't know the history behind it, you'd be like, seriously, you guys are talking, like you guys are arguing about that. And they're like, yeah, there were wars on these things of, you know, battles, internal battles that would go on. So I think anything can be Ford, you know, Ford versus Chevy or, you know, fill in the blank, right? You're gonna, no matter what you do, you're gonna bring in folks who are going to disagree with you. Now, like what you said, sometimes when I talk to Ed about this, we're like, why is that person still listening? And to your point, there's folks who listen just because they want to disagree. And you're like, look, I'm not changing. You're not changing. Why are you still here? But right. They are engaged in a way and they just want to continue. I mean, we've all had those listeners, right? Who you're like, why? It's obvious this isn't working, but they still want to come. And you've got to be able to, you know, sometimes I think if you can embrace it in some ways,
yeah,
you could use it in your favor. And make it work for you. I mean, at work, I have someone who constantly is disagreeing with me and can ping me on Facebook Messenger whenever they want. And eventually I just had to say, okay, I hear you. I hear what you're saying. It's not going to change, right? Sorry to say this, but that's not going to change. I know, but if I tell you enough times, it will. No.
Yeah.
It's not. I'm pretty strong-willed. I'm going to keep going until, you know, So you have those folks as well. Those are the baffling ones to me. The ones who every single week send you a note or in the chat disagree with you. And you're like, okay, I can understand it for maybe a week or a month or two.
Well,
but years?
I made the mistake of saying, like, I listen to No Agenda, I listen to Congressional Dish, I listen to We're Not Wrong. And when I hear what goes on, actually, like almost boots on the ground kind of reports what goes on in our government, I hate them all. I left and right. They're all owned by the banks and lobbies. And it almost, you know, and I said, one of the things that I'm disappointed on is how many people are in the U.S.? What, 7 billion, something like that? I don't know. A lot.
Oh, no. We're under 500 million.
Okay.
Half a billion.
So we have 500 million people, and these are the two best candidates. I'm like, and I said, I don't like any of them. I said, and I might actually vote for the one Kennedy dude just out of protest.
Oh, like, I thought you were going to say Mickey Mouse. I was going to write in.
Actually,
Mickey
I'm
Mouse.
Voting for Jim Collison for president. And
yes, no, I don't want the job. No.
And so the fact that I said I'm going to vote for somebody that wasn't his candidate. Well, now I was the enemy, and I was just like, and so to kind of bring up Jim's point, we went back and forth, and I said, look, you know, it's Marco's thing. He can do whatever he wants. If you don't like it
is his thing.
Yeah. You know, make your
he
own
reserve the right.
Yeah. Make right? your own app. If you don't like his, you know, and we just kind of went back and forth. And I said, look, I said, I'm not perfect. And I said, I tend to give grace to others, hoping that someday if I step in it, somebody will, you know, give grace to me. I said, I'm like, but I think we're just going to have to agree to disagree on this one. I said, I will honestly now say, hey, depending on what your topic is, go read the terms of service or whatever that Marco has. And, you know, in some cases you might not be approved. So you'll have to go to Spotify or, you know, Castos or there's not Castos, Cast something. Oh, that's good. It's an app. It has the word cast in it. Yeah. But anyway, there are other places to advertise your show. But
yeah.
And just well, when you brought that, up.
That's the way the system should work. Yeah. Like you should be able to, you know, it's Marco's platform and he can say, hey, Daniel kind of paraphrased or put in his terms in there. Basically, he reserves the right to say what's on there and what's not on there, right? It's his platform. He's responsible for that, right?
Yeah.
There's a disagreement between you and this customer. And you're like, hey, look, I agree that that's the way it's going to work for him. And he voted with his money, which was what he should have done.
Right, exactly.
That should be fine.
Yeah,
that shouldn't be a bad thing. Okay, I'm going to go elsewhere. Okay, you go elsewhere, right? We should be able to still have coffee together if we want to, or, you know, whatever. That's civil.
The next building a better, you just summarized the next building a better, Dave. It's like, I don't know, like Jim likes the movie Dune, apparently.
I do.
I made it 3/4 of the way, if that, through the first one and went, you know what? It's not for me, but you don't see Jim calling me the enemy. Oh, that's it. You're the enemy and you're what's ruining this world and blah, blah, blah.
You're an anti-Duner.
Yeah.
You anti-Duner.
Yeah. All right. We're going to say anti-Duner. Chris Nessie is with us. And Chris, how are you? You are with us.
You're not
on screen, but that's okay. It is early. It's early on a Saturday
that's
morning.
Weird.
You know,
technology.
It happens. Yes,
so I heard you talking about
your episode
first.
Thing.
I love the second logo. Let me just throw that okay. out there. I love the second one. So what I'm doing with AI and the podcast, just to clarify, it was easier to call in than to type it all up again. What I'm doing is I take previous episode titles and I look at the ones that through my stats are popular amongst my listeners. So the ones that are above average in quality. And I will take them, put them into ChatGPT, and say, can you look at this list of podcast episode titles and topics and give me a list of, you know, 15, 20 topics that are in line with this theme? And then I can look at them, I can tweak them, and maybe generate sample episode descriptions for ones that I'm particularly interested in. But that's kind of how I'm leveraging it to help me generate additional ideas for the show. And I'm trying to base it on what my listeners are really enjoying and what people are finding and
Makes sense. Figure out what's working and give me more of that. And then is that your AI tool of choice, ChatGPT? Or are you I just heard about Poe from Craig Van Slyke from AI Goes to College. His favorite tool is Poe. I just started last night playing with Magi, which is cool because you can say, give me ChatGPT-4 and use this persona, I think it was, or something like that. So are you a ChatGPT guy or what's your tool of choice?
ChatGPT is number one. And then I also use Claude.ai. I find that they're similar. I also mess around a little bit with Gemini from Google. So depending on what I'm doing, I will use all three and kind of share and compare those results and, you know, use my actual human brain to make the final decision on what I'm going to do.
Chris, give me an example of the prompt you would use then. So you're loading in the titles and some stuff in there. What kind of prompt, what do you say to get the results back?
So something like, I want you to act as an expert, experienced educator who creates a podcast about education technology. And I want you to look at this list of previous episode titles for the podcast and give me 15 more ideas that could make good episodes of the podcast.
Do you find it repeats, some of the ideas that were in there before? Do you find it giving you new information? What, new versus old? I mean, what's been your experience there?
If I'm giving it, depending on how many titles I give it, I will see some repeats, not like on the topic. So, if I've done an episode about, podcasting with your students and I'm not in the mood to do another episode about that, I'm going to ignore results related to that. So it repeats some themes, but I think that's to be expected.
Do you get anything new? Have you ever gotten a new idea of like, oh yeah, I hadn't thought about that topic?
Yeah. And then again, it depends on, do I want to create an episode about that topic? Is it the right time? Does it kind of fit in with the season of the school year? Is it something that can be evergreen? Or is it something that maybe I don't know something about and I would have to learn something before I can do it?
Yeah, I may even consider in the prompt saying, give me some new ideas that I haven't considered. Because it may need a little bit of a prompt. It's kind of built on a summary mentality at times. It's also built on the clues you give it. Unless you give it permission, sometimes it won't go outside of the box. And so you got to kind of I think this is my experience. You got to kind of prompt it a little bit. Give me something, that's not in here that would be popular.
Yeah, it doesn't always happen. I mean, I've also found the first time I tried this, I took every episode title in the last 10 years. I threw them all in and got topics and titles that would certainly be outdated. So I try to keep it within the last year. And I mean, certain topics are timeless, but I think that could be said for any podcast.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. It's a good idea. It's a good way to do
it. How to pick your favorite Behringer mixer. Yeah, we're not doing that episode.
Have we moved on from that? Have we moved on from Behringer?
I think so. I did see somebody in Reddit. They're like, what's the best mixer to have six people on a podcast at the same time? And I was like, I don't know that I would have six people on a podcast they had a panel of four and then they wanted to bring on guests. And I was like, that could be.
I've done nine. It's a lot of work. You got to coordinate it.
Yeah. Especially if you want everybody involved. And then you run the risk of like, what do you think about that? Oh, I liked it too. How about you? Yep. Thought it was great. Like, okay, that's not entertaining. Yeah.
As a host, you got to be really on the ball. Chris, anything else?
Nope. That's it. Happy Saturday, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. Happy Saturday. Good not seeing you, by the way, but good hearing you.
Don't leave yet. I want to try this because I just doubled you. So there we go. And coming to the stage is the one and only Chris Nessie. Okay. So that worked. So yeah. So thank you, Chris.
All right. But, take care, guys.
Yeah, I could see you.
For whatever reason, like I did that. And when I just went in now and looked at it, it's like that second scene had deselected itself. So, Gary's saying here for Ecamm, I made a profile for each show, which is kind of what I need to do, and always use the same hot button numbers to across profiles. Stream Deck always works. I don't like pulling the other stuff, other camera angles to fix Ecamm edits. Yeah. It's just one of those things where that's why this morning and last night I was like, I just need to play with this more. Jeff does the same thing in terms of Ecamm. So I just need to go in and play more. It's like anything else. It's like I got it the way I was set it. And even this morning I was like, okay, do this. And like I say, this automated thing, like this still, like we're going to switch topics. I see where it added the marker. There's the thing. And this should now go away a long time ago. So I need to go in. And my guess is, again, whatever scene it's going back to somehow has lost its memory or something like that. But once it's set, it's set. So I don't know what's going on, but it is what it is. And in regards to the Magi tool I was talking about, Daniel had a quote. Yeah, he says it's called a persona. Magi just added Claude version 3 with some even better than GPT-4. And you can kind of pick which engine you want. It just looked pretty flexible. And I was like, you know what? Maybe this is what I'm going to use. And Dan, again, from Based on a True Story podcast, which one do I prefer? I love Ecamm. And any criticism I would have of Ecamm, I just turn the finger and point around at me. It's operator error here is the problem. It's not the system. And that's where, like, I've learned now that if I can't drag, like the scene we're looking at right now, Jim's on the right, I'm on the left. And if there's a problem, I can easily just click on that anywhere and drag it over because it's locked. That's a thing I had to learn the hard way multiple times, that you can't really move a scene around if it's unlocked. You'll just all of a sudden I'll grab Jim and drag him out of the scene and things like that. What? So yeah, exactly. Jeff says Magi is a great tool, and Dustin is updating what I liked about it. Because I've heard about it. I've actually paid for it. I got grandfathered in. I'm on like the $9 plan. I think the lowest plan now is $19. But I love the fact that in his help video, I forget what he said, but he totally like boffed a word and then just corrected himself and kept on going. So it was a really laid back, like, hey, I'm just the dude here to help you and yada, yada, yada. It wasn't like, oh, it has to be perfect and professional and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, I kind of like that. So yeah, Gary says, when it comes to Ecamm, the one big mistake I made, because I can't say faux pas, well, maybe I can, was not running the Rodecaster in chat mode. Yeah, that's anytime you hear that echo thing, it's because Dave has set it to whatever it is, multi-track, because I needed to have the audio from the computer go into the video, yada, yada, yada. So, you know, but how else do you learn stuff? Yeah. You make a mistake and go, oh, yeah, don't do that. And I just need to remember when I'm done making videos for the School of Podcasting, go into Ecamm and go back and listen to the chat. So that's the way it works.
For my job, StreamYard is the only way for me to go, because I have multiple different locations. We have a team now. We bought the team concept, yeah, with StreamYard. And I have people in different locations. We have a studio in DC and one in Omaha. And I need it to just work. It can't be kind of tied to a computer, so to speak. And I know there's other ways to do it, but StreamYard is fairly locked in and easy. And I can teach that to someone in 15 minutes. And so it gets, in a lot of cases, I have folks who only use the studio twice a year, and that StreamYard's easy enough. They can go, oh, I'll say, hey, remember this and that and this and that. Oh yeah. And I've even turned it over to some folks in our marketing team who aren't production engineers, who don't do this regular, to do podcast interviews with, that we're going to later cut and, you know, edit and do some other stuff with, but they've done the interview and it's worked really, really well. They come back every time. So StreamYard has been great for me because it's just easy. Does it have as many features? I don't think so. I've seen you do some things on Ecamm. Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's super cool. But does it work? Is it a little more bulletproof? Yeah. Dan and Gage built that thing to be bulletproof for the most part. And so it works out really well.
And if you have a PC, you're good to go. If you don't have a Mac, you're kind of out of luck when it comes to
On Ecamm, yeah, with Ecamm, right? Where StreamYard's just a browser, it's browser based, and it works in any Chromium browser. So you get, although there's some weird things that happen in Brave, I do not know why, but yeah, it just depends on what you need it for.
Yeah, and Gary says in StreamYard you can set up different profiles for different shows. Yep. Quite easy, yep. And it's not as features
makes sense,
but it's. I mean, the first time I used StreamYard, I don't know that I ever looked at a manual or had to watch a video. It was just like, oh, that does that.
Oh, yeah. Kind of makes sense, doesn't it?
Can I drag this? Oh, you can drag it. Okay. Well, it was pretty simple. So DR is saying, who here is a prompt engineer? And I'm looking for a button. No, never mind. They said, Gary said, Andy Oh boy. Crustadina is the guy to follow for AI with your Google Analytics for great analysis. So I'll have to look up Andy Crustadina. I just found a guy named Kevin Houston, and Houston is H-U-S-T-O-N, and he is all about AI. I think he has the website's like Futurorama, Future something, something. And he had a great, I'll put a link to this. There was he did a video like ChatGPT from absolute beginner to kind of a masterclass, some of the advanced stuff. So why did I move off of StreamYard then, Dave? It's the shiny thing. It was silver and it blinked and it went, I was like, looky, you can do all this stuff. And I was, and I had a Mac and I was like, okay. And so there are two reasons. Number one, if I didn't have a Mac, obviously I wouldn't be on it. But two, I'm A, education. So if somebody says, which one do you like better, Ecamm or StreamYard? I'll be like, okay, what computer are you on? They go PC. I'm like, okay, you're StreamYard all the way. You can't even use it. And if they're on both, I'll be like, okay, here's StreamYard. Much easier to, you know, there's not as much of a learning curve. But if you're a kind of a control freak, you know, Ecamm, you can set things up to where they just look gorgeous and you have more control over, like I could actually go over and make Jim darker. Like if I'm like, hey, you're a little overexposed, I could actually adjust his camera, things like that. So it's a little more control. And so I guess apparently I'm a control freak. And so, and it is fun.
I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't have done it naturally. And now I've gotten to learn from you. And I know, like, you know, there's crazy things that go on where we get some things wrong and whatever.
Yeah.
And as a distant, disinterested third party, I just kind of sit patiently through that. Like, I'm like, oh, that's how that works. Okay. So for me, it's just been a learning experience watching you go through it. And it's given me the ability to tell people like, yeah, it's a little more complicated. It's like OBS in some ways.
Yeah. Where
it's infinitely customizable. And you get some folks like that. Listen, if you're a very technical person and you like that kind of control, those are the products for you. You know, they're going to give you some, you know, down to the pixel control over what you're doing, where StreamYard's a little more average guy, average gal, average person type thing, where, you know, just about anybody could run that thing. Although I'm on their Facebook group, and that may not be a true statement, as I've seen some folks get tripped up over it, but it does give you some more control. I'm glad you did it. It was a little frustrating at first just because we had the problems that we had, but now it's kind of like, oh no, that's kind of cool. I love what you're trying to do with the automations, and you're going to get it right. I mean, listen, we started this whole podcast as a test. Like, we were just goofing around. So it kind of fits into you know, we should have titled it Ask the Podcast Coach Goofing Around.
Yeah.
You know, because that's kind of what we were doing.
Ask the Podcast Train Wreck. Yes. Exactly. So.
It's fine. It's all fine.
Well, I've removed the delays. So in theory, okay, click the button, marker has been added, and nothing. Oh, that, yeah, and go away now. Come on, not now. I'm going to let it sit there for a second. And on the screen, it says, ask the podcast coach, askthepodcastcoach.com/question. And okay, we don't know why it's doing that.
I like that idea, though.
Yeah.
I like this idea of you having a, you know.
That's the whole, and the thing it's really doing is it's adding a marker to the recording in Ecamm. So when I download that, if I don't use the, you know, separate tracks on the Rodecaster, I wouldn't have to go through and listen to make my chapter markers. They'd already be in there. I would just have to name them. And I was like, okay, I like that idea, but that's just not working today. Ralph from the Ask Ralph podcast, in the end, you probably need an engineer to manage the live show for you while you are a participant. Well, if I had a budget, you got to have somebody back here at press. I know StreamYard, you can do a producer. You can have somebody behind the scenes that's doing all this stuff. Jeff or Chris, if you're in the room, I'm sure there's got to be a way to have somebody in Ecamm going behind the scenes that they could be pushing the buttons. Although, if it's tied to your Stream Deck on your computer, I think what you'd have to
do... No, they would need to be... Yeah
they'd have to start the meeting, and then they would bring in everybody as a guest. Yes, that's how that would work. So, but speaking of other people and guests and things like that, let's go ahead. This works, doggone it. Yay! And that is, we're going to talk about our awesome, easy for me to say, awesome supporters. And again, Dave must not have this locked. There we go, because I'm trying to hit the next button. The awesome supporters are at askthepodcastcoach.com/awesome. And this show is brought to you by the School of Podcasting, tech.com, where you have courses. So if you need to get up and going, or if you need to get growing, or if you need to monetize, that's there. You got coaching. That's a little of me, one-on-one as much as you want. And our community, we just had someone join that we have a comedy writer now. We have psychologists. It's an amazing community. If you use the coupon COACH, that'll save you on either a monthly or yearly subscription. And Ask the Podcast Coach runs on PodPage. So if you want to check out PodPage, go to trypodpage.com. That's my affiliate link. Or if you want to learn PodPage, go to learnpodpage.com. And we've been talking about it a lot today. We're using Ecamm. If you want to check it out, if you're on a Mac, askthepodcastcoach.com/Ecamm. And if you need more Jim Collison, and who doesn't, go over to theaverageguy.tv. And I think it's time. Yes, it's time for the featured supporter of the week.
Yes.
Which means it's time for the Wheel of Names. So will it be Glenn Hebert or Craig Van Slyke or Felix or Greg over at Indie Drop-In or Shane at Radio GDPR? I will click a quick shuffle and we will spin the wheel, and round and round and round it goes. Survey says it is Ralph over at AskRalphPodcast.com. If you run, if you run a small business, or if you just need help with your taxes and your personal finances, there's only one person you want to ask, and that's Ralph at AskRalphPodcast.com. Thank you, Ralph, for being an awesome supporter. And last but not least, now this is one of those things where, again, where I need to go back to, because I'm still seeing my screen and I've lost my Ecamm. There it is. And last but not least, hey, does this show save you time? Does it save you money? Did it save you some headaches? Did it keep you educated? Well, then maybe you should consider being an awesome supporter at askthepodcastcoach.com/awesome. So with that, there's a genre of podcast that, look, everybody, do what you want to do. It's your show. But there's one genre of podcast that I sometimes go, and that is when I hear somebody say, I'm going to start a movie podcast. And not that there's anything wrong with a movie podcast, but I did think of something when I thought about this.
We do have a,
that's right,
a supporter.
And that's a guy that's doing, you know, that's a good point.
Just a reminder.
No,
just
no.
Well, no. I'm just kidding. I'm just
kidding. That's an example, though. But look at what Dan did. Dan's not doing, hey, this week we're going to talk about Barbie. And, you know, did you like it? I don't know. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
It's different. That's a really good point. If you go listen, based on a true story podcast, that's not your typical movie podcast. That's a really, I'm glad you brought that up, because I've listened to Dan's show. It's a good thing. Because we had a question, somebody came, well, it's not really a question. This was from a Reddit post. And they said, it's this guy, he's been doing it for a couple years. And he says, it's a movie podcast. The theme is we pick a movie each week, discuss it, and decide whether we'd recommend it to our son. And I was like, all right, that's a little bit. And if so, at what age? He's been, he was born shortly after we started the podcast. And we have our second coming this June. It's pretty lighthearted. And while we get analytical at times, it's meant to be kind of an easy listening show. I was like, okay. So while the show is short of a time cap, is sort of a time capsule for our kids, we also want to maximize listeners. And we haven't seen too much success so far. We have about 95 episodes with a total of 2,800 listens across the audio platforms. According to podcasters, on Spotify. So they're using Spotify for their host. Not that that really makes a difference when it comes to downloads, unless for some reason you haven't listed your show in other places, but it sounds like they did. It says we're growing little by little. That's the way everybody grows. Never getting a ton of listeners, but peaking at about 100 in a week in May of the last year. It's been a slow bleed out though. And now we haven't had an episode get more than 12 listens since the beginning of January. Our current audience size in the app is 8. And that's a little painful, especially now. My question is, are you having fun? And that's when he says, let me be clear. We're still having fun talking and recording, but I'd love to be able to grow it a bit, or at least not backpedal. So we have video episodes, which I post on YouTube. Again, it's not a significant source of listenership, as well as all audio podcast platforms. For promotion, I post short clips on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. I'm somewhat active on our Instagram. It's gotten us some more social media followers and decent engagement, but it doesn't seem to have translated to listeners. We've only had a couple of guests on, but are working on increasing that in the next couple of months. But as I mentioned, our second baby is coming in June. And then when I hear that,
boom.
Yeah. Like, guess what?
There it is.
Yeah. I think we're leaning towards taking a hiatus. You think? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Once that happens, assuming we do that, no, it's not assuming. You're taking a break. You got two kids. Here's my question. What kind of tweaks do you think might be worth making when we decide to pick up the mics again? And that's where, to me, he says, we're considering either 8 to 10 episode theme seasons, either 8 to 10 episode themed seasons to avoid listener fatigue, or planning our weekly schedule out more and trying to have industry guests or other podcasters on once a month to make the episodes about more than just us. I would love to hear if you guys had some other ideas. If you think our approach is wrong, I would be happy to send the podcast if anyone is interested in hearing for purposes of tweaking. This again is in Reddit where they're not allowed to self-promote, but I don't want to mistake this as being self-promotion. So I kind of like, on one hand, their difference, right? Because there was Siskel and Ebert. Like, do you like it or do you not? And the thing I did notice is Siskel and Ebert went off the air and they were replaced by Dan, right? There isn't. Yeah. So I'm like, there are people like Brian Cuttington and Brian, I'm sorry, I don't remember the name of your show, but Brian's a video guy at Libsyn. Obviously a video guy, loves movies. And he admits, he goes, I know I'm never going to have a huge audience. I just love talking about movies. And that's what they do. They bring up a movie and they talk about it. And that is, in many cases, every movie podcast, right? You're going to talk about movies, where Brian or Dan has that thing. Like, it's based on a true podcast. And is it true? Which does what? It creates a knowledge gap. This is what I'm talking about, a podcast movement next week. When you have a knowledge gap where, like, hey, I found something in my grandma's attic. Wait till you hear what I found. Okay. Everybody's like, what was it? You know, that's a knowledge gap. It's a tease. And so Dan has a built-in tease. How much of this is true and how much of it was made up? So I just, for me, there's movie podcasts. There's a lot of golf podcasts. There are, I'm trying to think of, real estate is another one that I see.
True crime. I mean,
true crime.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody created a true crime. A few of those have done really well, you know, yeah. And listen, you got to try. Like this is one of those things you got to get out there. You got to try it. They did it. They threw some numbers out. They threw themselves out there, yeah. And it didn't go very well. And hey, you know what? Congratulations. You figured out, if you want numbers, you figured out what not to do at that point.
Yeah.
And so, you know, hey, okay. Or hey, if the numbers you created is creating an engaged audience, I mean, Home Gadget Geeks is kind of in the spot where, you know, we're 200 or 300 or 400, and could it do more? Nah, probably not. Do I put a ton of time into it? No. Does it do it what I want for me? Yes. Would the community that I have created be disappointed if I stopped? They would. And they've told me that, right? So it's all those things are working for me. Could it go big? Maybe if I did, maybe if I put a little effort into it and got lucky, you know, it would. But you know, they gave it a shot. They tried that. I would tell them, shut it down and take a break. You got a kid coming and it's going to be a lot of work. Take some time off, think about it, and then come back and relaunch something new.
Yeah,
try it again.
I think that's what I answered on Reddit. I said, let your audience know we're having a kid and we're going to take a break.
Yeah.
And we'll be back when he starts kindergarten or something. But also tell them to go back and listen to the old episodes. Make those links available on your website. Just go to, you know, mywebsite.com/follow and, you know, listen to the back episodes, things like that.
Well, Coach Dave makes a good point in the chat. He says, do 100 episodes of whatever. You'll become a podcaster in the process, good, bad, or indifferent. Show your 100th episode will be head and shoulders above your episode number one. And there's a lot of truth to that. I mean, if nothing else, you know, doing 600 episodes of Home Gadget Geeks and the thousands I've done at Gallup has made me a better speaker. It's made me a better interviewer. It's made me a better panel host. And now I'm starting to get, you know, people all the time are like, hey, would you host this panel? Or would you be a guest on my show? Or would you, you know, fill in the blank? I wouldn't have done that if I hadn't, you know, consistently for the last 13 or 15 years now, something like that, have been doing this kind of media.
Yeah, it's, yeah. I was working on my talk for Podcast Movement Evolutions last night because it was due. Because, you know, that's usually when you do it. It's like, oh, crap, I got to get this in today. And it's 30 minutes, which means I'm going to plan on 20 because my brain's going to add an extra 5 while I do it. That'll leave a couple minutes for questions and things like that. And it's, you know, 15 years ago, if somebody said, you got to do a half hour presentation, I'd be like, eesh. And now I'm like, oh, it's only 30 minutes? Like, this is a piece of cake. So, yeah. And there was some new stuff. I always try to add... There's always going to be, you know, Dave's greatest hits, you know, laugh, cry, think, grow, and educate, and entertain, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm like, I always want to have something new so that somebody who has seen me before walks out of here with something new. So it's, I think I've told the story before. When I went to my second ex-wife's wedding, which was awkward in so many ways, but we're good friends, and the pastor who married them had left. And she looked at me and said, Dave, you are almost a pastor. Get up there and bless this mess or something like that. And I was like, okay, I'll just freeze, like, you know, all right, you know, no big deal, you know? And so, yeah, I think you end up being able to go with the flow because there are days when things just don't work the way you want it to. And you're used to that.
It's confidence. It builds confidence, right? I mean, it is a skill and it builds confidence. And so if you want to do more of those kinds of things, I'm glad I did it. On Gadget Geeks was never going to be a super popular show, and maybe it could have if a few things would have gone different for me, not better or worse.
Right.
So, you know, I like Dan's comment. He says, think from the listener, what's in it for me, for them? Do random listeners care if random people recommend a random movie to their kids? Probably not. Make it about the listener's kids instead.
Oh. And,
yeah. There's all kinds of different ways, to take this approach. Yeah, certainly. Now, it can be about you, and you might be talking about things about you that other people care about too. So it doesn't always have to be that way. But I think that it's a good way. I mean, creating something, you know, crypto is hot again, and 1,000 crypto podcasts all popped up when you know, crypto got hot. Every time it gets cold, all those podcasts die because it's all these people, you know, speculating.
Right.
And people love to hear that kind of stuff, right? And then when it's not doing well, you look like a genius when everything's going up. Right. You know, you could pick anything. As long as it's going up, you look like a genius, right? And then when it's going down and you're picking things and people are losing money, you look like an idiot. And so, you know, then all those things go away. But, you know, that's there's another thing. Pick a hot topic that people are excited about right now.
Yeah. Well, and you asked one of the hardest questions. There are times when I'm like, man, if I ask this question, is this what's going to make the person quit? And that is, why should people listen to your podcast? You know, like, what's the benefit? And some people are like, I don't know. Cause then it triggers their imposter syndrome. They're like, I don't know. Why would you listen to me? I don't know. Maybe you shouldn't. Maybe I should just quit. And I'm like, well, what's the benefit? You know, that's the whole thing. And sometimes the benefit is I like the sound of my own voice, and it makes me feel warm and fuzzy when I talk into this thing and hit publish. Okay. That's good too. Well, that's what you want to do.
Sometimes it's for relationships. Like, listen, look at our chat room that's here live.
Right.
We're not telling them anything they don't already know, but they're coming out for community on Saturdays. This is their, you said it early, their Saturday morning cartoons, right? They're coming out to be a part of a community. And sometimes you can do that too. You and I, we haven't said anything new in 100 episodes, Dave. There is nothing new, right? But the community we create, the reassurance, the Saturday morning time together, the jokes, the laughs, the fun, the mistakes. And every once in a while, there's a nugget.
Right.
Someone in chat will say something or you'll say something. And we get a little nugget in there. But I think why people come here is for community. You know, they can... it has to be, otherwise they wouldn't come, you know, and not everybody comes every week, but I see a lot of the same names every week. So what we have created, we do this, yes, for info, but more like community.
Gary says it's like Wacky Races on Saturday. That is an old reference, my friend. I remember Wacky Racers. Yeah. All right. Well, the other thing I saw here, I'm going to try this one more time. That goes there. You know what? I'm just going to cheat and do it manually. This person says, just a bit of a question. I'm relatively new to podcasting and audio editing in general. What I've been finding is editing doesn't allow me to get in the zone. I can't play music in the background, talk with others. The edit takes over entirely in all our other distractions. And wait a minute. The edit takes over entirely and all our other distractions are removed. It really makes it hard to be as productive as I am with a regular job or any other task. Yeah. Does anybody feel this way? Yeah. Yeah. So in other words, you need to focus when you're editing your show that's going to go out to a public audience. Yes. Yes. That's what I do. It drives me nuts, although I'm moving into a new position, kind of. There, I'm adding more responsibilities, let's add it that way, at Libsyn. And I'm just now, there are things I do that just, it's a giant checklist. Somebody wants to do this. Okay. Click this, undat, do the drop down, click save over here. So I really don't have to think. I mean, I have to pay attention, but I don't have to troubleshoot. Where if I'm troubleshooting somebody's problem, I can't listen to, you know, whatever. My brain needs all of my brain to do that. So I don't, when I'm editing, A, I can't have music in the background because I'm trying to figure out if I've edited out all the breaths or if I'm, you have to focus. I don't know. Jim, when you edit, do you multitask?
Oh, heck no. Yeah. I can barely edit with that when I'm focusing on it. Like it takes a little bit of work. No multitasking. That's maybe one of the few things that I have to really focus on when I'm doing it and not have, you know, the actual physical act of editing. There are editing steps. If you think about getting your podcast from wherever you have it to wherever you're going to edit it, the editing process and then publishing it. There's steps in that whole process you can multitask. Or at least I can multitask on it. Maybe it's while it's moving over or it's uploading or it's rendering. Yeah, you can go do other things. The actual physical act of editing, no, that takes 100% of my attention. And so I really zero in. Now that's me. Maybe some other folks can, I don't know how you would, but it takes full attention. I find it though, Dave, to be like art for me. The edit, a really well done edit, actually feels good to me. Like you listen to a messed up piece of audio, then you go in and change some things and tighten some stuff up. And then there is no better feeling when you hit play and it goes through that edit and it's exactly like you wanted it. And to me, that feels more like art than it feels like, I don't know what else the other thing would be. It feels good. I just am like, oh, yeah. You know, almost give it a fist pump. Like, yes. So I do like those. They're time consuming, but I do like it. There is a satisfaction. I guess that's the word I'm looking for. There's an incredible amount of satisfaction in a really good edit.
Yeah, I'm using Resound right now to edit this show because it's live. It's not scripted. And there are a lot of times, especially if I'm looking at something else, where the and ums just come out in waves. And it's really cut down the amount of time it takes. And what I love, there, I have let a couple go through that I'm like, you can tell that's edited. But most of the time, it does it really good. And all it's looking for are ums, really. And so it'll probably cut that one. I'll have to leave that one in. But that's really handy. And that's half the reason I like it is because it makes the process of editing not so stressful. It's just like, I just go to the next one. And if I see it's just the word, I don't even have to listen to it. I'm like, nope, get rid of it. And so I'll go through a 90-minute show in 45 minutes, and that gets it to good enough. Because I know there are times in there where I'll like, I don't know, now that it'll pick up, but like double words doesn't pick them up, things like that. They're going to add more to it. But to me, yeah, Coach Dave, Resound seems pretty good. I've run a few shows through it so far. Yeah, I like it as an editor for my live stuff. When I do the podcast review show with Eric, again, live show, we're making up stuff off the top of our head, lots of just filler words and things like that. So sometimes just the process, you know, if you can make that easier, then you'll last a little longer.
Eric's a radio guy, though, so he's probably pretty good at not using... Really? Wow.
No, because radio guys are used to doing what? All right, on today's show, they got the copyright in front of them. And not that he's horrible, but both of us are, you know, off the top of our head, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, it's fun. Here's a... speaking of editing and things of that nature, we got another... Well, first of all, I'm going to do this. Yeah, ta-da. Starting an in-person interview podcast without a studio space. I'm starting an interview-based podcast. It's audio only. That'll cover a range of topics. I already have two guests who have agreed to do it. But my problem is I don't have any idea where I'm going to record. I personally desire to record everything face-to-face, in person, as I think it makes for a more interesting and personal conversation. I live in a studio apartment, so I don't have a ton of space. Well, it sounds to me, typically aren't studio apartments like a living room, a bathroom, a kitchen? Like, it's basically a one-bedroom. I know some...
Bedroom, yeah.
I know some studio apartments... There was one apartment complex I lived in, like that guy had a room. It, like, you open up the door and welcome to the kitchen bedroom. Like, it was just one room. That was it. It's at a certain point I go, I do have a few guests who live in Chicago. And when I go over there, I'm planning to rent an Airbnb or something and make it a makeshift interface space for a few days while I record back-to-back interviews. But currently I don't have any ideas for what to do at my home base. I'm willing to spend money to rent a space or be creative. I am a little hesitant on leasing studio space as I'm just starting out and, you know, I'm not sure how this thing's going to go. If you have any ideas, let me know. Well, there are a couple things you could do. It sounds weird. One, if you got a car, those are great studios because they're soundproofed. Also, look into your library. A lot of libraries have some sort of quiet space that you could do that. And that's where a Podtrac P4 comes in handy. It's really portable. Get a couple mics and you're good to go. You could even do the Rode Wireless Go system. Just clip a mic on two people and record it that way. You could do that with just your phone, basically, and that would get you in the game. I think this is where a lot of people think it has to be super duper fancy schmancy. And like, it could be the kitchen table. Now, that's not going to be the best acoustics, but I was in a rabbit hole this week on the Waves website. There are so many D-Reverb plugins that work really well for like $30. So now if I hear somebody with a Blue Yeti that's too far away and it sounds like it, I'm just going to be like, shame on you. You could spend $30 and fix this problem. You could have, like, you can record, you know, what did the engineer say to Britney Spears? That was awful. Get in here, right? Because you can fix it in the mix with auto-tune and everything else. You can take bad audio. So if your guest is like, I had this guy come on and, you know, he's using earbuds and blah, you just, like, you can clean that stuff up. And it usually, now there are some that are expensive, like $200-$300, but there are plenty that are 30 to 50 that I'm like, and they show you, like, there's a person, like, she's in a parking deck. So there's just tons of reverb and they just, you turn this knob and reverb gone. And I was like, that's pretty impressive. So it doesn't have to be super fancy. When you now, Gallup has a built-in studio, right?
We do. Yeah, we have a dedicated studio now, which is kind of nice. Community college would also be an opportunity for a place to go. They may let you use a classroom, or sometimes they have a media degree, and so they'll have some of those kinds of things. You might need to pay a little bit for it, but a community college might be a... Or a college, even, I mean, it doesn't have to be the community college. It might even be at your local university. Just ask those questions, right? Hey, do you got a place? You may, in some areas, you may even find a restaurant or a place to eat that has a separate room that in a non-peak time, you could, if you slipped them a 20, they'd probably let you, maybe if you bought lunch from them and you slipped them a 20, I bet they'd probably let you use that room for an hour or two. Shut the doors. And, you know, so I think be creative and see what's available in your community. Our library is moving, where my daughter works. They're moving to a new facility, and they actually, in the new facility, they built 4 dedicated conference rooms just for this kind of stuff. And what we're finding too is, as they're designing these rooms now, because we've gone Zoom conference on everything, right? For the most part. Fill in the blank, whatever that is, Teams or whatever. Yeah. But the rooms are actually constructed a little bit better. in some cases. They're getting better design for sound in some cases. So she's getting, I think they have two and they're going to get four rooms on the move. So like you said, the local library may be a great place to check out. I do like the car. Listen, I think in-person interviews are overrated in some ways too. I hear a lot of podcasters who want to do this in person and I get it, but to get started, you might be better off doing it like you and I do it, where we're just, you're at your house and I'm at mine and we got some space set up. It's a lot easier, I think, in some cases to get started that way. If you want to move to in-person interviews, okay, get going. Maybe that's something you figure out. If the podcast really takes off for you, makes it a lot easier to start thinking about spending money on spaces than if it doesn't. So it just may be easier to get started this way to make sure the content is going to be there before you get too invested in this idea.
Well, the other thing, and this isn't hard, but it made me have flashbacks to being in a band. When I was doing the Akron podcast, I interviewed two Akron police guys because they were recruiting. And so I had my bag that had three sets of headphones, three stands for the desk, three cables, three mics, and a, you know, Podtrac P4 and a brick right to power the thing. It doesn't take a long time, but you know, it's, if you're not using something that can run on a USB thing, like let's say it was powered, let's say it's a, you know, I think the Rodecaster can run on a brick. I think it runs on USB if you wanted it to, but if you're not, if you're using something that needs power, now you got to find an outlet. And by the time it was set up, and then, you know, you got to teach people, no, get close to the mic, that whole nine yards. You know, it's like, it's one of those where I'm like, oh, this whole, and that's when I bought the Rode Wireless Go system. If I were to do it again, I mean, I bought the Rode Wireless Go system because it works with the Rodecaster, but I had the DJI mic one, which is much smaller and works just as good. If I wasn't a Rode person, I would have probably stuck with the DJI mic because that was super simple. I literally just clipped it on the guy, hit record, put one on me, clipped record, and it was super simple. And it worked. It was, yes, those are, you know, condenser mics, but again, $30 on a reverb plug-in and you don't have to care about it. So let's see. Oh, Gary says the New York Times installed sound pods for the reporters in some parts of the headquarters. I love that idea. I hate the office for all other background conversations. That's true. It's tricky. And a lot of that stuff, again, I was on the Waves plugin site and they had one, this guy was like on a New York street, like New York City. So there's all the things and he's rapping. And by the time they turned this knob, all you could hear was him. And I was like, that's impressive. I didn't realize what I was looking for is a plugin. And I have one already from, I think it's Accentize, that automatically adjusts the tone. Because when I do the question of the month, some people come in, they've really pushed the bass. And other people are kind of shrill because they've got a headset mic. And I was like, I need something to auto EQ as it goes along. And I have one and it works pretty good. But I was just, you know, again, looking for the bright, shiny thing to do. And then Coach Dave brought up, where'd it go? This, I love this name. If this is actual a name of a company, Crumple Pop, which to me sounds like something, you know, and I forget the name of, there was something, there's another name. Crumple Pop is the plug.
Like a good donut.
Yeah, and there's a name of the company that's even more, but doesn't Crumple Pop sound like some sort of fairy tale? Sit down, children.
Oh, yeah.
And I will talk about the legend of Crumple Pop. He would go around with he deplosived everyone. It was just, but he's now the.
Is he mean or was he nice? was Crumple Pop.
Oh, dear Crumple Pop, nice? Please don't. Yeah, I'm being repressed. Maybe. By Crumple Pop.
Maybe he didn't. Maybe he was kind of forgetful, Crumple Pop. Oh, old Crumple Pop.
I was just like, is that a real name? That's the name of the plugin, Crumple Pop. And I was like, okay, I've never heard of that one. Speaking of that, we had a question actually about this. Need help setting up three mics. Everyone, I need help finding the right products for a three mic podcast. I just said it. I watched videos and researched, but still can't wrap my head around it all. From what I'm sometimes watching YouTube videos or Facebook groups especially can actually, because you end up like, oh, I've never heard of this mic. So then you do a comparison of the new mic versus the old mic versus the, wait, oh, there's a third mic I should be considering. And then, and that is the epitome of, what is it? Something by something, something Asian. It'll come to me later. Oh, that's going to drive me nuts. Yeah. From what I've gathered, what I need to be looking at is XLR microphones. My favorite are both. Like right now I'm using, I don't know why. I'm kind of stuck on the Rode PodMic. I put in my RE320 the other day and was like, you know, I kind of like the Rode PodMic still.
Yeah, I like it too.
Yeah.
Your RE's crunchy.
Yeah. But it's USB and XLR. Any mic I'm buying to do podcasting, I want both because it gives you maximum flexibility. As a price range of under $600, give me something. And that's where I'm like, okay, $200, PodTrak P4, couple Samson Q2Us with a $5 windscreen, you're good to go. So it doesn't have to be.
Amazon had ATR 2100 Xs.
Yeah.
Is that right? The X for $59 this week. Somebody was asking me, they asked me all the time, like, hey, you know what should I get? And I went on Amazon and I almost always send them to the 2QU because those are usually cheaper.
Right.
And the Audio Technicas have been like $100. And I got to the page, I'm like, holy buckets.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you got to buy these now.
Because
they were cheap.
They're USB-C, which is much more fun around an iPad if you're doing that. There you go. Ralph bailed me out. Paralysis through analysis.
I knew that one. I didn't know where you were going.
I thought it was Asian through Scation something. Yeah. There we go. Yeah. They're all chiming in. Analysis by paralysis. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Jim's lower third is wrong. Really? Did I have a typo in it? You know.
Well, no, that's not. It is totally wrong.
it is.
You have averagely.tv. Averagely. That maybe I should have a new website called Averagely. That's going to be my next app. Averagely. I like it.
I just leave it.
Obviously, I don't care because I didn't notice. I like to do the and then capital A for average and then guy, GUI.com. But that's going to be my new app, the Averagely app.
And Ralph has been fighting this problem. He got a Bluetooth 5.3. It's a Bose headphone. Still trying to find a great wireless headphone. And it's got a little bit of a delay. The only thing I could think of, Ralph, is if you're going into the Rodecaster and then plugging the Bluetooth thing into the Rodecaster, see if you can just go from the back of the Rode, like, because I think he has a Rode. I forget what mic you have, but if it has a headphone out, plug the Bluetooth thing into the microphone and then put your headphones on. Cause
I think they purposely built delays into the USB or into the Bluetooth codec on purpose. No matter what they do, it's terrible. Bluetooth it's always been bad. And even though they keep coming up with new versions of it, I'm not sure that's ever going to work very well. I don't know why maybe in physics, it's not possible.
It could be.
To be able to pass it across a wire to a transmitter, to a receiver, back to the wire, and then to, maybe that will always have a second of latency, no matter what they do. There are people who hate wires and they're just trying to get away from them. And I get that, but it is a physics problem that is hard to overcome. I go wired. I said to somebody busted me on it the other day. I say I do wired on everything, and yet I have a wireless mouse. So maybe a hypocrite. I'm a hypocrite, but I definitely do wire everything else.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I almost want to get a pair just to see, because it's got to be, I would think, milliseconds. But it would bother you if you looked like a bad Godzilla movie and you're doing video and what you're hearing in your head is not in sync on the thing. So.
Just, I wonder if the connection, if it going from a wave back into the wire is, because you gotta do some translation on those, right? Both going to the air and then pulling it down from the air. I wonder if that's just physically possible, you know, to get the latency out. We're on a wire. It's just, it's coming out. It's going speed of light. You're not, it doesn't have to go through anything.
Yeah. That's what Randy's saying. Mm-hmm. Randy Black says it works just like Wi-Fi. There's always going to be some jump in latency because you convert the signal and then you transmit it and you convert it again when you receive it. It's just the way it is. Yeah, I'm with Ralph. I've got like a 12-foot cable and I need about six. So I've got a little thing here where I have a cup holder that clamps to my desk. So I kind of, and at the bottom of it, so it's got a cup and then it's got this hook to put my headphones on. So I wrap a lot of the cable around that. But there are times because my seat swivels that I'll go to leave and I basically made this wall of cable that I have to either, you know, it's just a hassle. Yeah.
Or you just rip it right off your head.
Yeah.
You know, you get up and it's like, and the thing comes flying off your head. Yeah. No, I understand.
Yeah. He's saying the latency is less than 20 milliseconds or something, but it is what it is, you know, and I get it. I hate I hate cables.
20 milliseconds, pretty quick. I mean, that's pretty,
and it's
still something, but that's pretty fast. I wonder what latency on wire is.
Yeah.
If that's less than five, I wonder what I'm sure somebody knows the answer to this question, what we can distinguish, at which speed can we actually distinguish that being off?
Yeah. And the,
yeah. Yeah. I've ruined many a headphone cords
running it over by with running my chair them
over 1,000 times. Yeah. I ended up routing all my cables underneath my desk to come straight out at me, you know, underneath the desk. So I can take like these plug in under the desk straight on, but they're held up so that it keeps the wires up off the ground just so I don't do that.
That's not a bad idea of getting, because they make all sorts of little, you can go to, you know, Walmart and get, you know, some sort of sticky gluey thing that you put, wire cable things. Yeah. And you just, I never thought of that. Look at Jim Collison. You're a genius, my friend. Cause
I got my nerd on.
I have it in the back of my desk for all the cables going to my monitors and things like that. They're all stuck to the bottom of the table. Why am I not doing it up front with my headphones?
Come straight out, hold it. I used a simple from Menards, a plastic connector that's designed to like go around PVC pipe, right? So you get like a 1/2-inch hole. It's really just a half hole, but then you can screw that up into the desk. And then it's got some room for the thing to move too. One of the things I don't like about the sticky ones is sometimes it permanently grabs the cord. And sometimes I want the cord to move to kind of slide in and out in that. And so you can get really creative. Those are super cheap. You know, those are a couple cents each, maybe. You can get them at Ace Hardware or any big box store. So that's what I like. I like them coming straight out. Actually, for the work setup, you know, I use this for work, you know, the Audio Technica BPH-1. Love it for work. And it's plugged into a audio interface. I need to run this. I got it running across the desk, coming out in front of me. And I really need to run it. I need to do the same thing where I run it up underneath and it comes straight out.
That or just be very careful where your phone is. Because I've seen people, depending on the cable you're using, or like, I keep getting this buzz. And I'm like, move your phone. Yep. And they'd be like, how did you know it was my phone? I'm like, it just, you know, 19 always years of doing this. There's always something. Always is.
Yeah. Yeah. So, the radio in your phone. Yeah, for sure.
Well, if anybody's tuning in now, it does say the average guy, I think. Did I get it right? The average.
Yeah, A-V-E-R-A-G.
I forgot the E.
A-V-E-R-A-G-E. Yeah. That's okay. You'll fix it.
It'll be fine. Holy cow.
No worries.
Yeah.
No
worries. But speaking of theaverageguy.tv, Jim, what's coming up on theaverageguy.tv?
Yeah, since I was gone last week, let me say too, Jeff C. was on 2 weeks ago. We spent some time.
I know that's an episode I want to hear right there.
It's good. Yeah, he is really good. And we talked about the Apple Vision Pro. So if you've been thinking about VR, it's not a review of the product per se. It's more talking about why do we need VR today and what's the status of virtual reality for a lot of folks. The Vision Pro is certainly a really advanced piece of equipment. But Jeff comes on and talks about that. And then my good friend, Erin Lawrence, she's techedgescanada.com. She came on and we talked about all kinds of fun little gadget things like sprinklers, automatic sprinklers, and some new coffee machine that's got some smarts to it. So it's posted and available now. Check it out. You can go to HomeGadgetGeeks.com too if you want to and check that out.
There you go. Maybe that's what I need to do. I'll just change your name to say HomeGadgetGeeks.com.
Might be easier to spell, I guess, but it's okay. Doesn't matter. It's fine.
On the School of Podcasting, without being an old curmudgeon, I'm going to explain the three types of video podcasts. And then I'm doing a deep dive this weekend when we get done here to YouTube stats, because I found a few of my fake video, just audio only things that are on YouTube, got like one, I think has 34,000 views. And I was like, oh, wow, this is going to really change. I thought this was a bunch of crap. And then I looked at how far people listened, and I'll be talking about how maybe that's not quite as cool as I thought it was going to be. So that's coming up on the School of Podcasting. Thanks to Mark over at podcastbranding.co and Dan over at basedonatruestorypodcast.com. Always appreciate your support. Thanks to all the awesome supporters. You can be one at askthepodcastcoach.com/awesome. No show next week, by the way. I'll be at Podcast Movement, but we'll be back in 2 weeks. Take care, everybody.